This talk was given by Bruce Barton, January 22, 2011.
My name is Cowdery, Oliver Cowdery. In the early history of this church, I stood identified with her and one in her councils. To fulfill the purposes of God, he called me to a high and holy calling. I wrote with my own pen the entire Book of Mormon, save a few pages, as it fell from the lips of the prophet Joseph, as he translated it by the gift and power of God. I beheld with my eyes and handled with my hands the gold plates from which it was transcribed. That book is true. Sidney Rigdon did not write it. Mr. Spaulding did not write it. I wrote it myself as it fell from the lips of the prophet. It contains the everlasting gospel, and it came forth to the children of men in fulfillment of the revelations of John. It contains principles of salvation, and if you, my hearers, will walk by its light and obey its precepts, you will be saved with an everlasting salvation in the kingdom of God on high. How strong was Oliver Cowdery's belief that the Book of Mormon is true? The story is told while practicing law. A gentleman accosted him with, "Mr. Cowdery, I see your name attached to this book. If you believe it's true, why are you practicing a law away from the Mormon Church?" After reading the testimony to which Oliver had his name attached, the gentleman asked, "Mr. Cowdery, do you believe this book?" "No, sir," sharply replied Oliver. "Well then," cried the gentleman, "but your name is attached to it, and you declare here that you saw an angel, and also the plates from which the book purports to be translated. And now you say you don't believe? Which time did you tell the truth?" Oliver, with firm and measured expression, replied, "My name is attached to that book. And what I there have said is true. I did see this. I know I saw it. And faith has nothing to do with it, as a perfect knowledge has swallowed up the faith which I had in the work, knowing as I do that it is true." Oliver never denied the truthfulness of the Book of Mormon to his dying day. His testimony in the front of the Book of Mormon is forever attached to this book. As you know, my wife and I teach the Book of Mormon to the young single adults in Institute each Wednesday night. This is the 18 to 30 years age group. And each semester in the first class, we ask the young adults to stand and introduce themselves and tell us their name, if they work or go to school, and their favorite person or story in the Book of Mormon. I remember last September in our first class, this one young lady who stood and told her name, etc. And then she said, "I don't have a favorite person or story in the Book of Mormon because I've never read the Book of Mormon." That hit me like a ton of bricks falling on me. She'd never read the Book of Mormon? She was around 20 years old. I thought, oh, that means she never completed reading the entire book. No. She meant she hadn't even cracked the cover of the book. I've reflected on that many times since. And I've asked myself this question, Bruce, who would you be today if you had never cracked the cover and read the Book of Mormon? Wow. Have you ever asked yourself that question? Who would you be? Where would you be? What would you be without the Book of Mormon? The Book of Mormon is so meaningful in my life. It tells me of the love of a man called Jesus Christ and his love for me, for you, and for all people. It tells me of the salvation and the reward he has for those who follow his commandments. One of the many projects I have is identifying the names and titles of Jesus Christ in the Book of Mormon. I've identified over 200 names and titles. Sister Barton, my good wife, in the talk here a few weeks ago, mentioned some of those names and their significance. One of the scripture study tools I mentioned in that CTR class we had several years ago under Bishop Miller was to highlight in yellow when those names first appeared in the Book of Mormon. So that whenever you read the Book of Mormon and saw that name or title in yellow, you would know the first time it appeared. Why does that matter? Because there are over 4,000 references to Jesus Christ by name or title in the Book of Mormon. A name or title for him appears, on average, every 1.5 verses in the Book of Mormon. I think that fact alone supports the subtitle of the Book of Mormon, which is Another Testament of Jesus Christ. That is the purpose and the foundation of the Book of Mormon, to testify of Jesus Christ. What better way than to have his name mentioned so many times? If you look at some of those names, and let me just read a few, ask yourself, what does this tell us about this man, Jesus? All-wise creator, Alpha and Omega, creator of all things from the beginning, eternal judge of both quick and dead, God of nature, great and true shepherd, great mediator, keeper of the gate, King of all the earth. And I could go on for over 200 different times. Some may say that's a cute little study tool, Bruce, but so what? Well, we all know the scripture verse in John 17 and 3. For perhaps not as famous as another one that appears underneath somebody's eyes on Sundays when he plays football. But this one's pretty important too. John 17 and 3 says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." There are two important parts in that verse. The first is life eternal. Life eternal is God's life. And the second is to know God and Jesus Christ. So in order to have God's life, we must get to know him and Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? How do we get to know a person in this life? Let me use an example of someone I love dearly, my wife. I didn't know my wife until I knew my wife. So I had to get to love her by knowing her. I had to find out more about her before I knew that I loved her. I met her first in a religion class. That told me she valued religion. The class was at BYU, and that told me a lot too. Then I started to date her. We talked. We had activities together. We studied together. I met her family. I learned about her history. I copied her notes. And I loved this person called Pat. I love what I learned about her. Isn't getting to know Jesus Christ about the same? We read about him in the scriptures. We see how he interacted with other people. We saw his personality and his emotions. We learned he was a great character and storyteller. We heard what he said about his mother, his friends, his enemies. We learned how he was treated and how he responded. We learn how he felt about his father and about us, his brothers and sisters. We examine his life. We study his names and titles and their meaning. And for some, we have a chance to go to where he lived and died, but a place with a description. We increase our knowledge and we practice what he preached. We come to know better the man Jesus. And in this process of knowing, we come to love Him. Why is our love for Jesus Christ so important? Because Jesus Christ, through Him, saves people. There is only one way to have salvation and return to God, our eternal Father, and that is by and through this man, Jesus Christ. Elder Holland, in yesterday's church news, told the temple presidents and visitor centers down at the MTC last Wednesday the following: Christ is the only name given under heaven whereby mankind can be saved. I started by quoting Oliver Cowdery. The interesting thing about that day in 1848, when Oliver Cowdery stood in front of an LDS congregation of a couple thousand people in Gainesville, Iowa, now called Council Bluffs, and told them that this book, the Book of Mormon, is true, is that he had been out of the church, excommunicated for 10.5 years. You see, it's one thing to have read the Book of Mormon, for its fascinating people and prophets, its clashes between good and evil, its intrigue and philosophical discussions, its wars, its miracles, its wonderful stories. But it's quite another thing to have the Book of Mormon be the way to bring us to Christ, to have a conviction of Jesus' saving power, and to be born again, a converted practicing Christian in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Oliver Cowdery knew the Book of Mormon was true from the first time he wrote down the words that came from the lips of the prophet Joseph Smith. And he never denied these. To the day on his deathbed when he said to his family, "Live according to the teachings of the Book of Mormon," unquote. But that knowledge was not enough. It was not enough to have heard Joseph Smith translate the Book of Mormon day after day. It wasn't enough to have John the Baptist, Peter, James, and John appear to him. It wasn't enough to be the second elder in the church or assistant president ordained to the church. It wasn't enough to see Moses, Elijah, and Elias, or even Jesus Christ himself in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 110. No, that's not enough. It is not enough to know that this book, the Book of Mormon, is true. Why isn't that enough? Oliver Cowdery's downfall was the practical reality of living the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just knowing it. And when he was cut off from the church and excommunicated and left it, like so many who have had that terrible experience, he knew what he had lost. The spirit of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was gone. It took him 10.5 years to realize how far he had fallen. Humbled and desirous of having that spirit back again, he came back in 1848 and asked for forgiveness to start his life over again with the saints in the Church of Jesus Christ. He said at that time, as he appeared before the High Council in Gainesville, "Brethren, for a number of years I have been separated from you. I now desire to come back. I seek no station. I only wish to be identified with you." His case was considered, and upon the motion of Orson Hyde, he was accepted back into the church and rebaptized. George A. Smith said, Oliver Cowdery one time told Joseph Smith this, if I should apostatize and leave the church would be broken up. To which the prophet said, what? And who are you? This is the work of God. And if you turn against it and withdraw from it, it will still roll on, and you will not be missed. Welcomed back into the church, forgiven and embraced, Oliver died a pleased man. This is the way it was recorded. Quote, after kissing his wife and daughter, Oliver said, now I lay my down for the last time. I am going to my Savior. And he died immediately with a smile on his face. Oliver Cowdery had turned his life around and was headed back to the God who gave him life. Knowing that his repentance was sincere and heartfelt, confident his Savior would be on his side as his advocate with the Father when the judgment day would come. I believe he came to know more than just that the Book of Mormon was true. I believe Oliver came to know his Savior, Jesus Christ, through the Book of Mormon. We can learn a lot from the lives of our early people in the church, the good and the bad. We all love to be praised for who we are and what we've done, don't we? As a student, I love to have my teachers say, good job, Bruce. As an employee, I love to have my boss say, well done, Bruce. As a child, I love to have my father compliment me and say, I'm proud of you, son. Wouldn't we be just as thrilled to have our Heavenly Father say he was proud of us, too? There are four recorded times when God our Father introduced his Son to people on earth. At the baptism of Jesus Christ, at the Mount of Transfiguration, to the Nephites in America, and to Joseph Smith. There is one common thing said in all of those times. It is exhibited in what was said at the time of Christ's appearance to the Nephites in 3rd Nephi, when the voice from heaven, our Heavenly Father, said, behold my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I have glorified my name. Hear ye him. The common words in all four times are my beloved Son. And in three of the four times, the words in whom I am well pleased are said by the Father about his Son, Jesus Christ. What is so significant about those two phrases? My beloved Son, and in whom I am well pleased. They tell us the relationship between a father and a son. In this case, our eternal Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. But it also says more. It tells how one person feels toward another. The Father could have just said in introducing Jesus Christ, this is Jesus Christ, listen to him. But he didn't. He wanted us to know more. He wanted us to know how he felt about his Son, Jesus, and how pleased he was with him. I remember one time when my dad, who was an avid golfer, was down at the golf course, and I went down to pick him up. It was after a golf tournament, and he was talking with his golf buddies around the table with the scores from the tournament, etc., and they were busy and everything, and I just went up to him, you know, to stand there, and he stood up. He put his arm on my shoulder. And he said to his golfing buddies, this is my number one son, Bruce. I was born first. And a good son. How did that make me feel? Great. So how does this relate to you and me? When we stand before our Maker, our Father, who art in heaven, in judgment. I would be thrilled for them to have him say, "Well done, Bruce. I am well pleased with your life on earth." Wouldn't you want the same? What greater thrill than being accepted back by the Father who sent us here with welcoming arms? I believe when we come to that point in life, when the love of our Savior is burned into our bodies, has become a part of us, as King Benjamin says, we have been born again, like Oliver Cowdery, I think, was at the end of his life. Then we come to the point in our life when we can stand tall before our Maker and have confidence of what He will say in our judgment. President Joseph Fielding Smith said this: "I am firmly of the opinion that had Oliver Cowdery remained true to his covenants and obligations as a witness with Joseph Smith and retained his authority in place, he, and not Hiram Smith, would have gone with Joseph as a prisoner into martyrdom at Carthage. By his own choice, Oliver was denied the martyr's crown and a chance to stand with the prophet Joseph Smith through all time and eternity, holding the keys of the dispensation of the fullness of times. I end where I began. The Book of Mormon is true. I know it. I believe it. I don't doubt it. But that's not enough. It's just not enough. You know it, I think. You believe it. But do we live it? The principles of salvation, do we live them? I've come to love and know better Jesus Christ through the Book of Mormon. He is my brother. He is my Savior. He is my God. I hope we just don't read the Book of Mormon for knowledge. But I hope that we allow it to bring us to Jesus Christ, our Savior. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.